to another exciting episode of the Super Fanatic Podcast. I'm your host, Ray Showdog Prisby. Hey, and by the way, Happy New Year, too. We have a great show for y'all tonight. We're changing things just a little bit, so just bear it with us. But basically, we're taking call-ins now. So me and Cody are going to be doing the show all night, and we're going to be taking calls from people and talking to whoever wants to talk to us. So, hey, Cody, let's get the show started. First and foremost, Cody, how was your holiday?
Holiday was good, man. Didn't really get into a whole lot. Sat around the house with the family and had a good time.
Hold on. Because I remember hearing something about a ring involved or something like that.
Yeah, that was on Christmas. There was a ring. I'm getting married in October, I guess we've decided. I'll get you an invitation to that, by the way. I don't know if you want to come down here to Kentucky and visit, but get you a...
You're not having it in Tennessee?
No, I decided to not go to a completely different state for the occasion. So, and things have been good so far this year. Been staying busy, working. Unfortunately, my mom had a little accident yesterday, so... sending well wishes to my mama. She has a couple stitches in her foot, a lot of pain going on.
So for the folks that don't know, normally we're on Thursday nights, which would have been last night. But Cody called me about an hour and a half, 2 hours before the show. To tell me that, hey, not only did he tell me he had to send a picture. So I said, hey, take care of mom. Don't worry about it. If you're not back, we'll just move it to the next day, which here we are the next day. Go ahead. Continue, Cody.
Yeah, so we got that taken care of, and now here we are. You said an exciting addition. I won't lie. I need your excitement to rub off on me. I'm sleepy. I've been up since 7 this morning, and I'm dragging a little bit. But what always gives me a little bit of life, and no one else gets to see this, but before the show, when the theme song is playing, I can see Ray in a little bubble down here that none of the viewers can see. Thank you, James Frank, that none of the viewers can see. And he dances to the entire theme song every single week. So 1 week I will wear my Meta glasses and video it so you guys can watch it. But yeah, man, I'm excited after a win. I don't know. Normally I'd be happy after a win, but like, you know what I mean? It feels like a fake win almost. You know what I mean? Like, didn't do much for us, but the good thing we have to talk about leads off the show. So you get right into it, right?
Hey, right into it. So we got a lot to unpack because we have
a lot.
Miles set the record, coaching carousel all over the NFL, not just with the Browns. There's a lot, and then we're gonna have people calling in. So sit back, relax, and be prepared for a great show. Let's get it started. So hey, right off the top. The new single season sack leader belongs to the Cleveland Browns, Myles Garrett. And he did it in exciting fashion. And here's the thing. Last week, I had predicted that he was going to get 25 all total. So I'm thinking that he's going to have 3 in this game. And for a while there, it didn't seem like he was going to get it done at all. But Miles kept at it, kept going, and he got the sack. We got the record, and here we are. So what were you thinking? Cody, let me ask you a question. So in terms of – let's just talk about – did you think that he was going to get it the way it just drug out and lasted so long?
No, I was – I mean, I told you weeks ago, I thought that when Malik Collins went down, I was like, man, his inside help is kind of gone. I was nervous, and I was the pessimist last week. Both you and Dustin said, yeah, he's going to get it. And I was like, you know what? I'll be the pessimist. Because when you're the pessimist, you can either be right or be surprised. And I like that way to live. And so late in the game, I was like, man, they're getting the ball out just as quick as the Steelers. But I think it benefited us quite a bit that we stayed in the game. We had a chance to – or that we were ahead and they had to pass the ball. It wasn't a blowout where one team could just run the ball and run the clock out. So he was able to do it. Obviously, Pittsburgh fans were extremely hurt by this. I think someone should set up a hotline for them. But by all means, I'm ecstatic. And I'll go a little deeper with you and tell you, I actually did not want us to draft Myles Garrett. I was so wrong on that. But yeah, a great moment to cap off a completely otherwise disappointing season.
Right, right, right. And well, you know, we did get to see what Shadur could actually do on the final drive if he could actually put something together. So there was that too. But yeah, it was a good turnout, great game. He has the record. What other takeaways, Cody, did you take from the game?
You know, it sounds funny. The game feels like so long ago now because we've had the coaches and just everything that's happened. I still kind of take away that I think Rocket Sanders has a part of this football team next year. That was definitely one of the takeaways. I think he, now granted, there's a chance you go out and you draft someone or you find someone in free agency that it's hard to tell. We don't know what our offensive system is going to be next year. So
we maybe don't even know where Rocket's gonna be. We don't even know who's yet.
So, right. So if we come out with a guy who's a heavy shotgun guy, so man, it's hard to take anything away. But before I go on, real quick, I wanted to start a new thing here for the next couple of episodes. And I didn't tell you about it, but this is our 33rd episode. Last week would have been easy. So my challenge to you is name me a Cleveland Brown who wore number 33.
Oh, Reggie Rucker, right off the top.
Okay. I'm going to put that down somewhere that was your pick for the 33rd podcast, Reggie Rucker. Now, I'm going to get you it again next week. So, hopefully I can catch you sleeping. Don't cheat. Don't cheat. You don't get to think about it until next week.
Okay. Well, no, because the thing was, Reggie Rucker popped into my head right away, but then I'm like, what other 33? I can't think of another 33 for the Browns.
I can't either. And if anybody in the comments can say,
well, hey, we got a caller. So let's see. Caller, you there?
I am here.
Can you hear him, Cody?
I can hear him. If I can hear him, the audience can hear him.
Okay. So caller. So first of all, caller, state your name and where you from.
Hey, Tony Hot Dog Turner. From the south side of Youngstown, now living in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, Tony. So can you name a Cleveland Brown number 33 other than Reggie Rucker?
Hey, Randy Schultz. He played for the Browns 1967, and a guy that was born in the same month I was born in, Leroy Horde.
Oh man, I forgot about. Wait a minute, Leroy Horde's number was 33?
I believe it was.
Oh, man, I'm drawing all kind of blanks.
He's pulling out stuff from so deep. I can't find a picture of Randy Schultz in a Browns uniform. That's how long ago Randy Schultz played.
Hey, my favorite team was the 1968 Cleveland Browns. I remember when he played in 67.
Okay. So what did you think about Myles Garrett breaking the record, or any other takeaways from the show? From that game.
Oh man, you know what? The CNL. Hey, I like. They have one of my favorite combination on with the white jersey and orange pants. And hey, Myles Garrett. Hey, he came with his same rush. And hey, so happy that he was able to get the record with 5 minutes to go.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Anything else particular that you wanted to talk about before we let you go?
I got two coaches one is on the market now, and one might be on the market, and they are considered as public enemy number one and number two, and I don't want them wearing the orange and brown. That's John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin.
Well, yeah, because you know I'm hearing that if the Steelers lose the first game in the playoff, that he's going to be another coaching casualty as well too. So I'm here. Hey, I take Tomlin or the other one. The guy, the Baltimore, I won't say his name because we don't have him yet. But the guy for Baltimore.
Hey, he wants too much. He wants too much. He's making a demand. He's making the man so high, from what I heard today, and they saying what they heard from a report. Hey, ain't no way. Ain't no way. He want $20 million. He want $20 million for himself. And
$10 million for his staff.
Yeah, and then he wants to elect his own general manager. That ain't happening, man.
Not only does he want to select his own general manager, he wants to have total authority over the roster. So to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Cody or Tony, but if he has control over the roster,
what the hell is that the GM?
Isn't that making him the GM?
Yeah, well,
he's
gonna hire him a GM, but he wants the GM seem like the way he's talking. He wants the GM to be a figurehead.
Somebody to blame.
Right, and the thing is, if the Browns were thinking of that, that could, and they wanted to keep Barry, all they would have to do is move Barry into DePodesta's old position, and then just bring in the GM for whatever. I don't think that's going to happen, because if he gets total control, that means he's going to change the defense, and
we have a 4-3
defense. We have 4-3 personnel. Baltimore has always run a 3-4, and we've gone through that through all the coaching carousel. We'll get a 3-4 coach, play a couple of years, and then we'll switch to a 4-3 coach, and then we got to redraft everything all over again, and then it just doesn't work. Now, if the defense was just as bad, then go ahead, blow it up. But Go ahead.
I can't say for certain, but I don't think Harbaugh is the type of guy to be married to a 3-4 if he came here. I don't think he would try to put a square peg in a round hole and try to make Myles Garrett an outside linebacker and things like that. So I don't think that would be a huge concern. But for me, while he would like to select his own GM and wants total authority over the roster, part of that could have to do with him wanting to take an analytical approach. And most teams don't. We already do that. We already use the analytic thing. So we might not be in the same boat.
Right. Well, right.
Harbaugh, if he comes, he's going to switch it to a 3-4. He's going to switch it to that. I know he will. I really believe he will.
So Tony, let me ask you a question then. If not Harbaugh, if not Tomlin, well, Tomlin's not even available, so we don't even have to mention him. Who would you like to see pacing up and down the sidelines as the Browns coach next year?
Well, who I would like to see, I have a consultant with another guy from the South Side who lives in Colorado, Jeff Gaffright. He had a good suggestion. If we can make Jim Schwartz the head coach and make Reese the offensive coordinator. And only reason why, because Reese has worked with Shedeur Sanders, and you can keep some continuity right there. Now, if that don't happen, my sleeper would be Dan Pitcher, offensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals, the head coach.
I don't hate it. A lot of people hate it because they think, well, anybody can be an offensive coordinator with Burrow. But there's a lot of organizational unity there. Pitcher, is it Pitcher or Pritcher? Anyway, whichever one it is, he has worked with Barry before. So I wouldn't be totally opposed to that. But I don't think that's a bad pick.
Wait a minute! Nobody's saying McDaniels as an offensive coordinator. Nobody likes McDaniels.
I think it's a pipe dream.
No. Yeah. Oh, the guy from New England.
No, McDaniels from the coach that got fired down in Miami.
I don't know.
To me, he's a great offensive coordinator. Just he wasn't that great as a coach. He was a little. I'm going to be nice. He was a little aloof. That's a nice word.
Hey, you did you hear what the story was about him? People didn't know.
No.
Maybe you heard this already. He the one that gave Josh Gordon the alcohol on the plane when they was going to California.
Wait a minute. I remember that story, and I remember somebody doing it. I just didn't know that it was him. I didn't know that it was McDaniels that had given him the alcohol.
That's what somebody said.
Oh, okay.
I just think coaches coming out of head coaching. Oh man, get somebody new, man. Hey, you know what Cleveland does? And I was gonna say that, man, they always want to bring somebody to Cleveland so they can become a billionaire. Man, John Harbaugh had his life, had his money. Same way they did Mike Holmgren, brought him here to be our general manager so he can get filthy rich. The cat didn't even live in Cleveland, man. He lived in another state. So, hey, get somebody new that got some hunger, that hadn't had the chance to be at the Super Bowl, man. Somebody that got some hunger, man, or drive. And pitcher, he knows the AFC North, and, man, he'll have some hunger, man, to take the Browns to higher ground.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for the call, caller. Call back next week.
Hey, go Browns.
Go Browns. So there you have it there, Cody.
Greg, I want to do a quick check-in with the chat because there's a couple things here that I wanted to address. Okay. If that's all right. Like I wanted to talk about it. First of all, do you have any thoughts on Stefanski interviewing for Baltimore already?
Yeah, I did see that. And what I was trying to tell people, every team has to have so many different – I have to have so many interviews. So even if they don't want the guy, they have to, you know, if let's just say the number is seven, they have to interview even if they know already who they want, they still have to interview seven guys. So everybody has to go through the process.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Someone pointed out Trent Richardson was number 33. My number 33, I was going to bring up childhood favorite, Dalen McCutchen. That was my guy when I was a little kid. I think I still have a jersey in here somewhere. George Mallory says Stefanski will not work in Baltimore. Completely agree with that. James Frank let me know that it was pitcher. And there was one more thing I saw that I wanted to bring some attention to. Oh, Matthew Charles asked, how do you call in? We will have that set up next week, right, where people can we can publicly have the number so people can call in, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, so we're test running it, and hopefully we'll have a number for you next week. And then,
bear with us, Matt. We got you. We'll have you next week.
Absolutely. So, moving on, Dre.
Hold on, real quick. So, right. So George just said Flores all day.
He's a 3-4 guy.
Thank you. That's all I was going to say. Another 3-4 guy. So, do you want to blow up that defense? I don't know.
Yeah, and to me, there's guys that can move between both, and I think Harbaugh would be more likely to be on that line. But some guys are married to one way, much in the same way that Kevin Stefanski is married to his way on offense and trying to go to a shotgun-based formation-style offense with Watson just didn't work. Let's talk a little bit about the just as irrelevant team from the other end of the state. Jamarcus Chase had some really dumb comments.
well, actually, it was him and the coach, but go ahead.
Yeah, they were crying around. I think Jamar's quote here says, they better stop the game when I do something at the back end of my career. That's all I got to say about that one. I think the game was paused for like less than a minute. I never knew you could let the whole team get on the field. That's like me catching my 10th pass and the whole team running on the field. And you said it best right here. No, it's not. The NFL record for catches in a game is 21. If you hit 22, hell yeah, we'll stop the game. We'll let you have it. The dumb quote was Zach Taylor, the coach of the Bengals, saying we're fighting for our lives and they stopped the game. Brother, your life died 10 weeks ago. You guys never had a chance. Their life probably died when Burrow got hurt in the first or second week. Anyway, Ray, what are your thoughts on these really dumb comments by the Cincinnati Bengals?
Hey, I was reminded by one of my grandchildren, an old school saying, you want some cheese with that wine? Because that's the only thing I could think of, especially the whole we're fighting for our lives. bruh, we're both cellar dwellers, not going nowhere, trying to get this game over with so we can go home and watch you know, some games or whatever, because our season is done. So where did that we're fighting for our lives come from? I didn't get it, but it just sounded like some crying without some cheese to me.
I think that's Zach Taylor's way of saying, look how good of a coach I am. I still care, even though we're – to me, that's him, like, trying to pat himself on the back a little bit. You know, it's silliness. Jamar Chase, I thought this was funny too. Matthew Charles said the notorious spitter is now a beacon for the rules. There's never been a rule that says when a all-time record is broken that you don't stop the game. I don't know, man. Like, I want to like Jamar Chase because he's such a talented player. But, man, as long as he's wearing the black and orange, it's going to be hard. And I hear from Browns fans all the time, I hate the Steelers, I hate the Ravens, I don't really mind the Bengals. That's because you don't encounter a lot of Bengals fans in your day-to-day life. I live in Kentucky. Everyone here became Bengals fans 4 years ago. Because they were like, oh, they're basically in the same state. They're terrible. They're obnoxious people. I hate them all. Just as much, well, not just as much as Pittsburgh fans, but I hate the Bengals. And if you have to encounter one of them, you will change your tune and hate them just as much as I do. So,
amen and hallelujah.
So, moving forward a little bit, Andrew Berry definitely threw some cold waters on the hopes that we were just going to hand the job to Shador in 2026. Sorry, the years thing really is screwing with me. I don't remember the exact quote. I think he said, I can't tell you today if the starter is internal or external. I think that Shador is going to get a chance regardless, but what do you think about Barry's comments, Ray?
Well, I think he had to say it because, I mean, that's good PR because if he would, let's put it like this, there's so much turmoil around Shador that if he would have named him the starter right now, it could affect sales, and you know they don't want nobody messing with their money. So any smart GM would have said that he can't be committal at this point because you still got to go through the draft process. You still got to go through free agency. So there's still a whole lot that they have to, and you still got to bring in a coach. So he can't say he's our starter and then the new coach comes. So yeah, no, I get why he had to do that, and nothing to say here, folks. Keep it moving.
Yeah, completely agree. You're not going to tie your new coach to a quarterback if he doesn't want him. But it's worth noting, if Harbaugh's the guy, he was going to draft Shador in Baltimore. So now, listen, I'll be the first to admit, if you're looking for the ringleader of the Shador bandwagon, it is not me. I think he shows flashes. I think Deshaun Watson showed flashes. So I'm not that guy.
Well, okay, let me stop you. Okay. I just got a question.
Okay.
Has he shown you enough to at least have him involved in the conversation for next year?
100%. Yeah.
And that's more than fair. That's more than fair. Because nobody to be honest, I would say fix everything else. And then let all the quarterbacks, whatever quarterbacks that we have, let them all duke it out in a free duke out. I mean, not no he's favored or he – no, let everybody get – and then may the best man win.
Here's the story to watch for me. When we hire a new coach, one, how does that person feel about Shador? Obviously, if it's Harbaugh, if you're a Shador fan, you feel pretty good. He was going to draft him in Baltimore. But I want to know pretty quick, how's he feel about Trinidad Chambliss? Because that guy has played his way into being a pretty high pick. And if he has a good combine, I'm going to trust the process. But if they said, with the sixth pick, we take Trinidad Chambliss, I'm not throwing anything against the wall. That kid's good.
Well, here's the thing, though. He's already applied for
– he was denied today.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't – I'm glad you told me that because
yeah, he was denied today.
Oh man, now that I'm just wondering what grade they're going to give him. Are they going to Something tells me they're going to give him a second or third round. I don't think they're going to give him. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait.
If we could get that kid in the second or third round, I'd do backflips. And you've seen how I'm a large man. Granted, I've lost a lot of weight since you last seen me. I'm still going to try to do a backflip if we get him in the second or third round. You know what I mean? Like, that's a player.
Right.
And to me, as far as the eye test and what he put on the field, and not just, oh, he's big, he makes throws, blah, blah, blah. Production, I think he's – produces as better than anybody in the class.
Right. And he got some, he's a 4-3 guy.
Yeah. He's a little small. They list him at 6'1".
6 foot, yeah.
But I'm not torn up about size. Like, I don't think you have to be 6'5" to be, I mean, it helps, but.
Right. But, hey, Cody, real quick, we got another caller. We'll keep it going. Hey, caller, are you still there?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hey, state your name and where you from, and we're going to get the party started.
Man Dog,
where you from?
Where you want me from?
good answer. Anywhere but Pittsburgh.
Right?
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on the whole Shador and the GM being non-committal to him and that whole kind of thing?
My thoughts are, we got our quarterback, $1 million quarterback. Then we have Shador.
I wish he was only $1 million.
They're going to play off one of them in the trade. We don't know which one. We won't find that out until coach is actually hired. Which we already know we need an offensive coach. We can't break that defense up. There's not too many 4-3 defensive coordinators out there. We're set at defense. As Shador Sanders, he's played his whole career without an offensive line. So that's why he adapted to somewhat with the Browns, making plays when he could, because he's always ran for his life anyways, my opinion. To where Dillon Gabriel, no matter what his height was, he had an offensive line in Oregon where he had 5-6 seconds to throw a ball. He didn't have that in Cleveland.
Okay.
He deserves a chance.
Right. Well, you know, my thought has always been fix everything and then let's thoroughly evaluate all the quarterbacks. But to me, you can't really evaluate them until you fix that line and get some receivers that's not going to be dropping it all the time. That's just my take on it.
Correct. We had no offensive line.
Right.
We've not had an offensive line.
Right.
With all these quarterbacks, even when we did have somewhat of a quarterback we thought we would go with, we never had the quarterbacks has always went through multiple head coaches, multiple offense coordinators, changing playbooks consistently. That's why we cannot go to a 4-3, change from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense. That ain't happening.
Right.
That's gonna happen.
Right.
We have to start all over again, which we've done multiple times, changing defense.
Hey.
Let me ask a question to our caller then.
All right.
The three quarterbacks that we have on the roster, Sanders, Gabriel, Watson, do you think all three of them will be on the roster next year? And if not, how are we getting rid of them? So if you say Gabriel is not going to be on the roster, do you think he'll be traded? Do you think he'll be sent to Hong Kong? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, he'll be traded.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll be traded.
Well, we have to throw in a pick to get anyone to take him.
Yeah, no matter what, we're not going to get anything out of any of these quarterbacks.
Oh, wait a minute, hold on. There's something that y'all not thinking about. Because if we get an offensive line and we get some receivers, we already know if you want to trade somebody, they're going to showcase him. So to me, if it's Dillon that they're thinking about trading, they're going to get him playing and they're going to coach him up and they're going to make him look good so that at least we might be able to get something for him. I would think that's what they would do. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean,
No? No, Cody?
No, I mean, yeah, I think they would. Here's the thing. You just used a third-round pick on him. Everybody felt like it was a reach, and his performance was dreadful. Who's going to, you know, what are you going to get back? A fifth? You look like an idiot in that case. I solely would, if I'm Andrew Perry and I do that, I get up on stage and I say, well, our previous regime at head coach wanted Dylan Gabriel. It didn't work out. Because that's the only way you can avoid the egg that's going to be on your face of taking a guy in the third and trading him for a sixth. Because especially now that the other team that supposedly wanted him, their head coach is gone. So I'm going to do a quick chat check in here, Ray. We got Middle Child, Mama Bear in the chat saying, how do I call in? Next week, we'll have the public number. You can call in. We miss you anyway. So I expect that when Ray gets that set up, we'll hear from you to talk about things. Did we lose our caller, Ray?
No, he's still here.
All right, cool. Ask him something. Keep him talking.
Well, go to the next topic that you had.
Yes, sir. So let's just see. I would like to get his thoughts on Stefanski being gone. Just in general.
Man, dog.
It was well overdue. I missed one game all season. I was at all the games. And not only do I watch the game itself, I watch the players at the sideline and the coaching also, which you don't get to see on TV. What we need is a leadership. Miles is a good guy, but he didn't take charge. I hate to say it, like a Ray Lewis on the sideline.
Absolutely.
Somebody's taking charge of the team. It was no team. It was a lot of just, all right, let's go out, get player plays, get back in. You know, the defense, I seen the defense a lot was getting frustrated because they always back out on the field. There was no leadership. No, I mean, just the stares back and forth coming off the sideline. It was well overdue. It was beat up. It was done. And you're not going to go anywhere in this league and anywhere in life with your employment also with not having a good team. It comes down to communication. There was no communication. There was no, you know, you see it periodically on the defense. Of course, the defense did good because hell, they're out there all the time. But on the offense, and to be honest, I seen the spark come in when Shador came out on the field. I seen it.
I agree.
On the sideline, you seen it on the sideline. He was starting to communicate more with the linemen. He was actually frustrated with himself.
And I'll say this. I completely agree with you about leadership, player leadership. And if, like I said, there's a lot about Shador that concerns me. But the leadership aspect, he has it. He 100% has it. I had a friend that used to say all the time, you need a psychopath on defense. And that's what we were missing, was like a crazy person. Even if with JOK coming back, we still don't have a psychopath. Like, we need a guy with mental health issues over there that will knock somebody's head off and jump on somebody's face. And Myles Garrett would be the greatest person on earth to do it because he's built like a god. But yeah, we need a psychopath. And before our caller goes, I have one more question. Is he still there, Ray?
Yeah, he's still here.
Can you name me a number 33 from the Cleveland Browns?
The what?
A number 33. Any player that wore number 33 for the Cleveland Browns?
Ricky Feature?
Damn, that's a good one. Wait a minute. Was it Ricky Feature?
I don't see him on this list of 33s that I have. What's the
last one? You might be thinking of Reggie Rucker.
Reggie Rucker, that's what I meant.
That was my answer. Okay, cool. Hey, you got anything before you go? Anything else before you go?
Who, me?
Yes, sir.
No, just You know, it seems like we always look forward for the draft, but you know what? At this point, you know, Ray, for decades I've gone to multiple games. I have no expectations at all anymore. I mean, it's going to come. Anymore. This is what I love, the communication with the fans, the brotherhood, the sisterhood, you know, that's where it's came to anymore. And it's just adapting, new friendships, hanging out with people. You know, we know what the product that we have all the time, it seems like. We'll get it one time, hopefully in my lifetime. But I just want to thank everybody that's out there that comes to the games consistently, no matter what, we know in the outcome. Because that's the win for us, man. All of us hanging, kicking it together, doing things together, because we've established a lot of new friendships over the years. And that means more to me than anything anymore nowadays.
Okay. Well, hey, appreciate your caller. And I'll have that number for you next week so you can call back in.
All right, brother.
All right, man.
Go Browns.
Okay. Yeah. So, I just thought that, I'm not going to even lie, I thought 3 years ago Stefanski should have been called. And my biggest issue has always been the situational play calling.
Right.
No matter how tight the game is, once the game gets tight or on the line, it's the obvious thing that a third grader in Pee Wee League has learned, and anybody else that ever played football, but he has to be the smartest guy in the room, and he's going to do the opposite of what the norm should be.
I also feel like Stefanski's system did not allow enough room for quarterbacks to just go make a play, as opposed to the system almost requires the quarterback to make the play he wants him to make. There's not a lot of room to freestyle. Does that make sense? And for a great player to just make a great play, it's like, if it's outside of the system, it doesn't work well for us. I did want to say, too, the Randy Schultz pick as number 33 was an incredible bust out. He played 1 year, and it was in 1966. Like, that's an incredible pull from the last caller to say, oh, number 33, here's a guy that played 1 year in 66. Wow.
That's crazy.
I want to move on here to the head coach hiring cycle. I found this cool little chart, and you can see it has interview requested, interview scheduled, interview concluded, second interview, request denied, and then it has each team and each candidate. So, for example, on Matt Nagy, you can see he's had a scheduled interview with the Titans, concluded interview with the Raiders, scheduled with the Cardinals, scheduled with the Ravens. You can go to us. You can see Todd Monken. You can see Aiden Durd. I don't know. Is Durd Durday? I don't know how you say it. It's a British name. I'm proud to be an American, so to hell with his last name. Dan Pitcher, and then Tommy Rees and Jim Schwartz. Not only just the candidates with us, do you have any thoughts on just this in general and the shape that it's taking as we're going into the first week of the head coaching cycle?
Wait, say that again.
What are your thoughts on not just where we are, what are your thoughts on where the coaching cycle is in general with all of this?
Well, you know, once you have more than two or three teams needing coaches, it becomes a madhouse, and that's kind of what we're seeing now. We're up to seven teams now, and something tells me before everything is said and done by the Super Bowl, something tells me we might get two or three more. So we might be up to 10, 11 teams. Hey, only thing I can say about all of this or this whole cycle is I hope two things. I hope we don't get a retread, and I hope we don't try to get somebody that's so new that's we just can't do another Freddie Kitchens. I'm just sorry. We can't do another Freddie Kitchens.
Now, when you say retread, does that mean you're completely ruling out Harbaugh? Are you ruling out Robert Saleh? Are you ruling out?
No, retread would probably be a little like
Mike McCarthy is what I was thinking.
Thank you. I was searching for his name. McCarthy. Definite retread.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's the name that I think if we offered an interview that I'd be fairly upset about. Looking at some of these, I mean, Raheem Morris, how many chances can that guy get? He's had three head coaching jobs now, never been good. Vance Joseph, I can kind of see. I thought Matt Nagy's performance was pretty awful. Saleh's a guy that I'd give another one. It is interesting that we're the only person to request an interview with Monken, and that definitely makes me think it's got something to do with the Harbaugh situation, especially for how he was fired. But I wanted to just talk a little bit about Tommy Rees. I mentioned this before. And if you have an answer in the chat, I am all ears. What in the hell is the love affair with Tommy Rees in the football world? All I heard when he first came here to be a tight end coach, well, he's highly regarded. He might have a chance if Alabama becomes open to get it. He might be up for this job if Notre Dame was to be open. But based on what? Because, I mean, I get he's a young guy and people think he's bright. He worked under Saban. Did you see anything when he started calling plays that made you think, oh, yeah, man, that's the guy right there. That's the big hot shot. Because I didn't see anything. Did you?
Okay. And this is just my whole take on the whole thing. So now, you know, you got the agents and coaches and everybody. All these coaches have the same agent. And they're all kind of running in the same circle. So what you have a good agent is going to get his, whether it's a player or a coach, he's going to get the word out. He's going to hype him up. He's going to do all these things. So something tells me that's why we're hearing a lot of that about Tommy Rees, because I'm like you. What has he done? I mean, it's like somebody got on the hype train and they ain't got off yet. So I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to like sit here and say the kid sucks, but I just keep hearing. I feel like I've heard for years now, even when he was at the college level, like, oh, he's the next big thing. I'm like, well, how come? You would think that you would have saw something, you know. So of this list, Ray, is there anybody, obviously we've talked about Harbaugh extensively, who are some guys that you're super interested in, and do you have a name that maybe isn't the household, like, the one that everyone's talking about that you'd be interested in?
You know what? Okay. My dream scenario would be, my dream scenario would probably be Harbaugh as head coach, Schwartz hold his position at defensive coordinator, and we bring McDonald in. Is it McDonald? No. The coach that just got fired in Miami.
McDaniel.
McDaniel. We bring McDaniel in as offensive coordinator. That would be my dream hiring.
Yeah, you better wake up, because
I know it's not going to happen, but that's what I would like to see.
Yeah, so I obviously love Harbaugh, Jesse Minter, which this hasn't been updated to reflect. We did request an interview with Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator in whatever San Diego is called now. But a guy that I like a lot that I would be interested in is Jeff Hafley from this list. He's got some head coaching experience, some ties to Ohio. He's been with us before. I'd be down to give him a shot. Granted, his head coaching experience was just at Boston College, but still. And then another name that I like a lot, outside of Mentor, I love Mentor and Saleh, I like, would be, I think his name is Matt Burke, defensive coordinator for the Texans. They have always had a good unit, and that would be a name that would get me pretty excited.
Okay. Well, here, I got another caller. Let's bring him on and see who he would like to have on. Caller, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, state your name and where you're from, and then we'll get on with the questions.
Yeah, I'm Tim Waller. I'm calling in from Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, wait a minute. You sound familiar. You sound familiar, Tim.
Familiar.
so Tim, we're talking head coach possibilities for the Browns. Do you have anybody that you would want right off top, or you haven't really thought about it yet?
I've been thinking about it, and surprisingly, like I was so preoccupied with Dennis Stefanski out, I didn't really spend time really thinking about who his replacement would be. I've kind of gone all over the place because there's been speculating about so many different coaches, from Belichick to Dable and all these other guys. I haven't really focused in on any one coach. I've kind of been taking my time, just kind of researching different ones. What I am kind of a little nervous about is getting someone who was fired, though. That always, because the Browns seem to always take people after they've reached their peak, whether it be players or coaches, and then they're on the decline and they can take them. I would probably be more interested in someone who maybe didn't have a long tenure as a head coach, or maybe hadn't been a head coach yet prior. That's kind of where I would lean. But I haven't really necessarily pinpointed anyone over anyone else yet. I'm steering away from Harbaugh, though, even though everyone seems really excited about trying to get him in here. But I'm not necessarily gung-ho about that idea.
Tim, okay. hear me out, Tim. You've all year long, you've been our local Shador guy. Harbaugh tried to draft Shador to Baltimore. So don't you think that ideally in picking a head coaching candidate, you would want a guy who you know already has some love for your boy?
Yeah, absolutely. I know quite a couple of coaches. They said the coach recently fired out of, what was it, McDaniels? Out of Miami. He's interested in coaching Shador. I'm not necessarily interested so much as who's interested in coaching him more than I am of getting the right guy to coach him. And Harbaugh, when you look at what he was doing in Baltimore, he had Lamar Jackson. And it seems like he was only able to get so far with him. Now, what I will say about Harbaugh, to his credit, I know that Shador is a little bit more mobile than Flacco, but I would say he's closer to resemblance of a Flacco quarterback than a Lamar Jackson, which is when really that Harbaugh was more successful as far as, you know, his continual success to go to the playoffs and even a Super Bowl there. So that
let me counterpoint that too. So we could say he only got so much out of Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Jackson was not a highly heralded guy. A lot of people were surprised that he went in the first round when Harbaugh took him. Harbaugh also won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. So we don't know for sure yet that we've seen Harbaugh win without Lamar. We've not seen Lamar win without Harbaugh yet. And to the counterpoint too, to McDaniel, he also really wanted Dillon Gabriel. So,
yeah, that's true. But I just kind of steer. I don't know. I guess I was, even though I like Harbaugh and his reputation and his track record, I don't know. I just, he's been around for so long.
He's in his 60s. For sure.
It's kind of like when Philadelphia got tired of Andy Reid and everybody, oh, he's done. He's washed up. He's burnt out. And what did he do? All he did was go out to Kansas City and get him a quarterback and kept it moving. And how many more Super Bowls he done won since he been out there? So,
a few.
That's true. Now, I will say this. I think that the Browns are in a lot better position roster-wise and not so far away as people may think.
Amen.
So, it could take someone who's experienced. I don't know if you guys watched any of the press conferences, kind of like after that last game, and you listen to some of the defensive players. They didn't necessarily throw Stefanski under the bus, but you did hear those guys say some things like, we need more discipline. They were speaking in regards to Schwartz, and they were saying hold people accountable. Those are some of the things that they seem that they lacked. And so I think that whatever coach comes in, if he's good about personnel and if he's good about those two items, probably Harbaugh can bring that, then I would welcome that, but I'm not sure that our players would. You know, I don't know.
I want to intervene with a quick update. 11 seconds into the semifinal game, or Indiana leads 7-0. Dante Moore threw a pick six, I think, on the first play. So Indiana 7-0. And George Mallory had a question on the chat, Tim, that I want your opinion on. Would you give Deion Sanders an interview?
Miami last night, it was crazy.
Tim, we got a question for you.
Would you give Deion Sanders an interview?
No.
I was afraid you'd bite on that.
As much as I would love Deion to come on board as a coach, I don't think the team would appreciate. I don't think that dynamic works at the NFL level. I don't think that would work, especially with all of the attention that Shador has brought to the team already. That seemed to not work in our best interest. So I would love that, but I don't think it would be the best thing for the team.
I actually have to agree with you.
And I also don't think that it would be the best thing for Shador, because one thing about Deion is Deion was his own man and he got to create and establish his own legacy. Right now, and we're not even talking about a full season, Shador is already more famous than his dad was. And a lot of that due to the advent of social media and the way that information can kind of, like, even though it was built off of Deion's legacy, Shador still is a very, very big deal already. And so I think that it's important for Shador, for his own legacy, to kind of establish this and get this on his own. Because what we do see is that since Shador left, Deion hasn't had the same program. You know, I think that kind of like the same thing with Tom Brady and Belichick. So I think it's important for Shador to go off and establish his own legacy. So, and I think he'll remain a longer time with the Browns without Deion.
Okay. What other hot topics you got for us, Cody?
I want to circle back with Tim, even though we already talked about it ourselves, and talk a little bit about Miles.
No, wait. Hold on. Because we had something last week for Tim, and Tim wasn't here.
Oh yeah.
Do you have that by any chance?
Handy. I can pull it up. Hold on, Tim. Okay. What are your thoughts on the kicker? You were ready to run him out of town and possibly shoot him directly in the head week one.
Yeah, because after his turnaround, I wanted to, you know, kind of like flip it up a little bit to say, I'm glad that they stuck with him, even though I was ready to ship him off. And this is one of those things where I always say that even as much as I love football and as passionate as I am about it, I would never be a good coach at any level because my patience. I first brought past, I'm like, you're off the team. By the end of the season, I probably would have a roster left.
But, so is that an official endorsement from Tim Waller that you want Andre Schmidt to be the kicker next year?
We've been waiting so long, you know. And it's like you don't have time for these guys who appear that they may not be good right off the bat. And I think that's the problem with the Browns organizationally, because they don't necessarily stick with people historically. You know, they switch coaches, they switch quarterbacks, you know, over and over again. So forgive me for following suit.
I can respect a man who admits, hey, hindsight's 2020. I'm glad we were patient. I respect that.
Yeah. But I'm happy for him. It makes his story a lot better, you know, a lot more, I guess, romantic.
Well, you know, you did hear that his mom had died the week before that game where he missed the field goals.
See, I remember Cody saying that. I think somebody mentioned that when I was hard on him prior to that.
Right.
After I was real hard on him, he had told me that he had lost his mom. And I identify with all of those things too. A lot of our gripes and stuff like this, like I said, are just a lot due to because we're so used to things like this, and when once we see it again, we're like, all right, get rid of it. Let's start with someone else. I'm glad that they, however, did stick with him. Like I said, because he's turned. I think that it made the story a lot better. But I don't know if you guys caught the clip right before he made that kick against the Bengals and Shador from the bench, and he kept saying he's going to make this. He remembered when they doubted him, and he kept saying that.
Yeah,
he's like, they remember when they doubted him. Like, those types of moments, like, those are things that bridge the gap between players and teammates. They galvanize teams, and those are quotes, because I believe that what Shador was also saying is like, and they're going to remember me too when they doubted me. I think that was part of it. He felt connected in that, and I think that the whole team can take that mantra and say, they'll remember us when they'll remember when they doubted us as a collective, when they finally get there, because there's so many bright spots on this team. They just haven't pulled it together yet.
Right.
That was a beautiful story. And that's why I say it romanticizes it somewhat, because to have that kind of story, and we, if we know anything about the NFL and anything in this country, everything has to have a story.
Yep. The better the story, the better it's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, I have one more question. Can you name me a random number 33 from the Browns in your lifetime?
Tim, you hear the question?
What was the question?
Can you name me a random number 33 from the Browns in your lifetime?
In my lifetime?
Could be before if you've got a bust out.
A number 33?
Yep.
Sir.
Wasn't Leroy Kelly number
33? And we're taking your Browns card. He was number 4. He was number 44.
44. Okay. Let me tell you, do I get another guess?
Yeah.
Sure.
Mike Richardson?
You mean Trent Richardson, the running back?
Yeah, Trent Richardson.
Yeah, he was 33.
There you go. That's a good one.
I didn't like Trent Richardson.
Hey, so you got any parting words? You got any parting words, Tim?
Yeah. Let's pray that the Browns can find a way to find a coach that will stand up to Jimmy Haslam collectively with AD, so that they can detoxify this organization, because he said that they were intoxic, but they are. And if I think that they can find the right coach, and I also believe that AD, I think for the way Jimmy mentioned everything that he had done, I think that those were the things that he was solely responsible for. I don't think he had full range as a general manager prior to this draft, this last draft we had. So
they came out and said that this last draft was his first draft without Dee Podesta.
Yes, and it showed. And
right, exactly.
They trust him. And I think that's why they trust him going forward. And so I feel confident that we're in good hands with that choice. I hope they take their time and not rush to judgment and pull anybody. And that I hope that, like I said, that Haslam can find a reason in the strength of his new head coach to stay out of it and let football people deal with football things.
So wait a minute, Raymond, real quick before you go. So then, don't you think, I think the reason that any owner would meddle like that is because when you bring in a coach like Stefanski, okay, first time ever. So, okay, I'm a meddle. But if you bring in somebody like a Harbaugh that has a track record, I think an owner would tend to step back because this guy is proven. So you bring in another nobody, have him going to be right in there with his typewriter fingers, meddling around. That's just my opinion. So
yeah, I agree with that opinion, but it's still about personality.
Right.
As Harbaugh, right. Whether proven or not, it's still about, are you the leader of men? Are you an alpha male? Are you someone that can kind of like make sure you stand ground? There's a lot of times when you find those guys, like, what was it? With Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones. Jimmy Johnson's like, I'd rather be out of here. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. So it just depends on the personality, how they mesh. And if Haslam stays out of it with the right pick, then I think we have a promising future, because I think he has been the one that set us back to where we are now, mostly.
Right. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for the call. And we'll look for you next week, too, to call in.
Okay. I bet.
Peace in a bottle of hair grease.
Well, we're running low on time, so two quick things I want to hit real quick, because we've got about 1 minute. What are your thoughts on the college football playoff?
Hey, I told y'all last week, I thought Miami peaked at the right time. Now, having said that, was that pass interference last night or what?
Man, he
had him by the neck like he was trying to steal his chain or something. So, horrible. But they prevailed. I just think Miami. I think Miami just—they're the team to beat.
I agree. Oregon's on a nice little drive right now. 10 plays, I think 53 yards. It's looking good. And then one more thing: playoffs kick off. I think tomorrow is our first games.
Yes, sir.
So, Texans Steelers. Who do you got?
Steelers.
Jags Bills. Who do you got?
Bills.
Chargers. Patriots, who do you have?
Patriots.
Rams, Panthers.
Rams.
49ers, Eagles.
That's the game of the week.
It is. I agree.
Because it seems like the Niners are peaking at the right time too. I'm gonna go with the home team Eagles.
Yeah, I think so too. And a big game. I think if the Chicago Bears win this game, you could see a coaching change. Who do you got? Bears, Packers.
I think the Packers are gonna win.
I think so too. I'll write down your picks and we'll see how well you did next week.
All righty.
George Mallory says, you know, they don't call those on Hail Mary. He's talking about pass interference. Do we even call that a Hail Mary? It was like a 40-yard pass. Like, if it was like a 70-yard right. pass, I get it. Like, it was a 40-yard pass.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
But anyways, 8 o'clock has come. Send us out of here, Ray Frisbee.
So real quick, we got something special for y'all next week. Cody is going to actually reveal himself. So for tuning in next week, you'll actually be able to see who Cody is. And as always, go Bruins!